Yeah, g'day everyone. Welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarky. We're with you for roughly the next 45 minutes to 1 hour to preview everything that promises to be round 15 in the NRL season. Of course, it's the time of year where we've just simply got to talk a little bit of Origin off the top of the show. Before we get to all that more, let me welcome in my co-host as always, Winnie. How you going, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, bro. Well, we've come off winning round 2-1 on best bets, and we won the mixed matchup as well. We needed the three Saturday favourites to win by combined 20+. I think they won by 32+, despite the fact Cronulla lost the nightcap, which was the one losing our best bet. The same gamer, it just didn't hit the try scorer. We won the other legs. Disappointing because it was a big Warriors win as predicted, and CNK went damn close. Got a couple of best bets to share, and we are going to talk a tiny bit of Origin selection. It's very topical for the upcoming round as well.
With that being said, of course, it is a live show as well. So I can see Jeremy's in the house, Dan's in the house, Reed's in the house. G'day to everyone who is joining in. Please feel free to drop your comments as we go through the show. I've got them on my screen. I'll see them roll up, and you might even see them roll up on the screen.
Let us know if you're playing, Reed. We need to know for sure.
Give us that inside mail.
Hope the head's feeling all right.
Maybe it's not because he couldn't even spell his last name, but he come close there, Reed Marnie. But with that being said, let's roll back the curtains. Let's go to our best bets first, then we'll move into Origin a little bit else. What have you got for us this week in the way of best bets, Winnie?
Okay, sure. Just a pair of them. So I like the Canberra Raiders. I've bet that on Dabble now, best price minus $4.50, $1.92. So you can copy that straight away. Look, it's the Croker 300. I really do think they treat it like a grand final. What it comes down to for me is you've got that extra motivation. The crowd's going to be behind them, pressure on the refs. It is home advantage as well for Canberra with the travel. Obviously, New Zealand have to travel across the ditch. And I think the Raiders are the slightly stronger team. It's not just Croker. Elliot Whitehead's back, Seb Chris back this week as well. So I don't like going against New Zealand, but I was willing to in this one after the Warriors cashed a best bet from Sussex. And then I'm going Knights, plus 6.5 in the first half against the Broncos, $1.88. Yes, the Broncos have beaten me twice in a row. And no, I'm not completely insane. I just couldn't go past that. Such a key number and such a large line for a Knights side that's had two buys in the last month. Brisbane yet to have one. This bet's really about Newcastle. And I think they can at least keep it competitive in the first half. Plenty of Knights players with a point to prove that I'll get into when we preview that game in depth.
Yeah, with that Knights game, I've got to admit, that was the biggest sticking point I could see between those sides, is the fact that one's had a fortnight off already, the other's yet to have a buy-in. As for that Raiders one, the last time I was at GIO Stadium, of course, living in Canberra, and it was a sellout, was the 2019 preliminary final against the Bunnies. And I can tell you that place was rocking. It was awesome atmosphere and awesome energy, and it was super loud. It had grand final vibes to it, which I think this weekend will be very similar for Jared Croker. One of realistically the greatest modern Raiders players, you would say, in their history. Going to talk Origin. Before we do so, we're going to pause. We didn't actually hear from the Top Sport CEO, Tristan Merlihan, last Sunday. So let's check in with him, see how round 14 shaped up and get some injury impacts on Origin and hear round 15 information.
We will do that. And look, someone's already commenting Dabble price gone. So maybe this is my mistake where I bet it just before we went live, because then I'd have it ready for people to be able to copy. But because I've done that, people who do follow me on Dabble have already copied it and might have moved the line or the price. The thing is, with the Raiders minus 4.5, that's the line everywhere. So maybe the $1.92 may not be the best price. So look around, because it's $1.91, $1.90, and several other spots as well, if you like it, of course. Let's find out who Tristan likes this weekend and get some market watch analysis.
G'day everyone, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we've got a slightly easier NRL game to read on paper, but there's been so many curveballs thrown. If you have a look at last weekend, there were some tricky games to try to work out from our point of view where to price it. Fortunately, the vast majority of players backed up, which is a credit to most of them and virtually all of them. There's been a really changing of the guard in that sense in recent years, and I think this year in particular, obviously the closeness of the competition has seen everyone wanting to back up, but we did see a few injuries on the back of it. From our perspective, the worst result of the round was the Warriors against the Dolphins, where one-way traffic for the Warriors at the minus. The Dolphins stayed in it for a long time, but then the sin bin really hurt them. Our biggest result was the Broncos against the Sharks. Almost a similar result there where the line moved very heavily towards the Sharks and the Broncos got another really, really impressive upset. And the frustrating game was actually the Cowboys versus Storm. When the game started, we wanted the Cowboys and, you know, it was all going quite smoothly until, I think it was at 6-0 or whenever the Cowboys were up by 6. We laid a very sizable 13-plus bet on the Cowboys live and obviously they end up getting the chocolate. So that was frustrating to knock off a good result there. Just going into this round, it's been a really tricky one. As I said, on face value, it should have been an easier round of price, but we've had David Fifita pull out for the Titans, which has seen the Tigers go from 3.5 into 1.5. Obviously, Turbo named, and that's seen that line go from 4.5 to 8.5, where the Dolphins are depleted. And then the other game, which is really tricky, we've just had breaking news that Dylan Brown is not going to be playing for the Eels, despite being named. So that's seen the line move a couple of points downwards from where it was sitting at 8.5. Just having a look at Origin, it's been a really tricky one to price. We put it up at 3.5 straight after the game ended on Wednesday night. Obviously, no Nathan Cleary. There's a lot of conjecture over who Freddie is going to pick in that halves combination. The line's moved out to 5.5 on the back of the Cleary withdrawal, and I'm certain once we know who's in that team, come Sunday or Monday, we'll have a much better idea on where everything sits. Good luck if you're having a punt over the weekend, and as always, gamble responsibly.
Thank you very much to Tristan there providing that exclusive market insight. I had to notice on the polo there when he's at the old Top Sport logo, is he rocking some vintage?
You did
there?
Notice that. He needs, it's vintage, I suppose. He needs to update his logo as well. Whereas, mate, I tell you, I've been living just about in my tripod hoodie. I'll make sure you get yours soon. And everyone who ordered theirs, they're on the way soon. I know it's getting cooler weather. I just, basically don't wear anything else now.
Mate, I absolutely love it. One thing the fans love as well is State of Origin. Bear with us. We're going to go 5 minutes on this one. You guys have seen in previous shows, we could have gone for like literally an hour. We're going to keep it short and sharp as possible. Of course, everyone's tracking the massive news. Nathan Cleary officially out of games 2 and 3, as is Jai Arrow for the Queensland Maroons and Thomas Gilbert. And for the Blues, the other injury news I'm thinking is Cameron Murray. At this stage will play, we're told, but it's a day-to-day proposition. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, I went ahead on Monday and did up my predicted Game 2 squads. We've got that image. We can bring it up on screen.
Oh, I've let you down there. Sorry. I just forgot to prepare it to be able to put it on the screen.
That's no worries.
But we'll just narrow this conversation purely to Blues halves. So I put the question up on the screen, Clarkie. We quickly discussed it because we were live reacting to it on Sunday night, but not everyone might have caught that. We've had a few days to digest it, and I want to hear everyone else's opinions as well. So why don't we start with you, Clarkie? Would you go the same as what you said on Sunday night and share that with your brief reasoning for which direction you think Freddie should go?
Yeah, mate, I'm very boring. I just think the fact the Blues are 3 out of 16 wins recently at Suncorp and the fact they've never won game 2 at Suncorp and gone on to win a series, they're against history immediately. Brad Fittler under immense pressure. And I just think if it's not Nicho Hynes at 7 and Jerome Luai at 6, what message does that send to Nicho and other players that are involved in the Blues squad that you can be part of our plans for the last 3 years, have one bad moment as Nicho did missing that tackle on Cameron Munster, and all of a sudden, nope, you're out. We're going back to our halfback from 2017. Doesn't work for me. I know Reynolds is in fantastic form. I know that opens up some other potential combinations such as Cook, Walker, Luttrell, etc. But I'm keeping changes to an absolute minimum, Winnie, in a contest that they just simply must win. As in my opinion, and probably the opinion of most people, Brad Fittler's future quite literally hinges on this game. You have it a different way though, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. On the Brad Fittler point, we've already kind of highlighted this before game one and discussed it after game one. I mean, no matter who he chooses, people will be able to pick that decision apart. It's a fascinating, polarizing debate. There are that many combinations you can make an argument for, that many players, and it's not going to be set in stone. And maybe Freddie himself doesn't even know for sure. Or even if he does, it can change. One performance or one injury, everything can change. And there are domino effects. So we can only speculate, but it is fun to speculate. And I went with Hynes and Burton. And after much more deliberation, I believe that would be the best option for the Blues. Again, I'm a Queenslander, take it for what it's worth. But I feel like you got one player placed to the right of the ruck, one place to the left. Both have a kicking game. Some people are worried the combination you discussed, Hynes and Luai, is that a bit light on kicking? Because you can't really rely on Luai and Hynes' strength of his game, not necessarily kicking. The other reason that tipped the scales for me is the big bodies and athleticism. Although Hynes has a missed tackle or two in him, I still feel like I wonder about Reynolds and Walker both being in your defensive line, the pressure that they will be put under by the Maroons attack. However, if you're just talking attacking footy, I don't think you could go past the form of Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker. But that was my reason for Burton and Hines. I think size, and I think they've both been in the squad where they play, both running threats and the ability to kick. The question there, or a comment from Lockie, is, I was surprised, I've seen this in a few places, is Cleary addition by subtraction? And I've seen a few people say New South Wales will be better without Cleary. I just completely disagree. I think he's the Blues' best player, most important player, the Blues' best chance to win that game. Game two, must win, would be to have Nathan Cleary and playing at his best. It's just not going to be the case. There are several other really good players, but it's tough. I've heard another argument or statement made. It would be unfair to pick Hines in this because of the pressure. You shouldn't pick a player like him because he's, I guess, younger in his career. I think if you're questioning whether it's fair to pick a player in this much pressure, you shouldn't pick that player if you really think that. Every Origin is basically must win. I mean, apart from when you hand someone a debut and a dead rubber, game one is a must win. You know, game two, obviously, it's a must win for both sides. Queensland doesn't want to blow this and have to go to Sydney to win the decider. So you can't think that way. If Hines is ready, then they've got to throw him in. And I agree with you. If you don't, then what does it say about, you know, who New South Wales has had in their squad up to this point? Very curious to hear your guys' thoughts as well.
And if I can just play devil's advocate for 2 points, completely agree with the Nathan Cleary point there. From 2020 to 2022, the Panthers only lost 8 games. He wasn't even playing in some of those losses. So I'm not sure on his exact number, but it'd be around 5 NRL games lost in 3 years. And he doesn't look like slowing up this year. Don't agree with that. And if you did have to make a negative point for the Reynolds-Cody Walker combination there, they did lose 3 preliminary finals in a row. I'm not sure if both were playing, but I know the Bunnies definitely lost in a prelim 3 years in a row before finally taking that next step and then losing to none other than Nathan Cleary in the grand final. So if I can play devil's advocate there.
And I'll just say as well, I do not envy Freddie, because whoever he picks, people will pick it apart and say it was the wrong choice. The only way Freddie and Brandy get themselves out of this mess is to win game two and game three. Even if New South Wales wins game two, if they then fail in Sydney, they'll, you know, heads will roll. So it's an uphill battle, and Queensland are hardly going to take it easy on New South Wales, as Maroons fans were feeling pretty confident. But it can all change with another weekend of footy, and we will talk about key players that might be, you know, very keen on putting their best foot forward in the upcoming encounters that we're going to break down now.
The only way Freddie keeps all Blues fans happy is he pulls on the 6 and Joey Johns pulls on the 7. That's the only way they're going to keep them all happy. Let's jump on to round 15 for our preview, guys. We open it up on Thursday night with my Titans taking on the Tigers at Cbus Super Stadium. The line is set at -1.5 in the Titans' favour. Sorry, that did move on the back of the David Fifita news. So he is out. Cleese Haas starts in his place. AJ Brimson is a huge return. Keanu Kinney drops out. Brian Kelly into the centres. That moves Jojo Fifita out. Sam Verrill starts. Cruz Leeming on the bench. Chris Randall out. And Jamin Jolliffe is another return on the bench. A lot of changes there for the Titans. Not so many for the Tigers. Just Appy Korosau back. He was a late withdrawal from Origin. Odds suggest this one's going to be a coin flip game. I see it that way as well. Do you see it that way, Winnie?
Yes, I do, to be fair. You've got two sides that both lost last round in completely opposite ways. Your Titans up 12-0, blown out by 20. And you got West that were down 18-0, took a lead only to lose in heartbreaking fashion. For the Titans, Brimson back is huge. The first thing that caught my eye and makes me think, wow, Brimson at 1, Campbell at 6, Verrills gets a start. That's an explosive spine. I think they're going to be able to find some points, although, of course, for feeders, a big loss. And then you go to the Tigers, unchanged, but you know Appy's going to start. And my instinct is I wouldn't mind backing both of these teams this weekend. So it's just a shame for me they're playing each other. For the Titans, I would look to them because I think there has to be a response after capitulating at home and not having played at home for so many weeks. They'll want to remedy that. And for West, I think they're an underrated footy team at this point in the year that are buying in and improving each week. And like, if West had won last week, then you go into this as a very winnable game, you wouldn't be able to rule them out of the finals hunt, such is the closeness of the competition. So it goes back to this game to me probably being a coin flip with a slight favour to the Gold Coast because they're at home. And that's what the odds and line suggests. That's why I don't have a play. I will throw it back to you. I want to ask you if you remember the corresponding fixture between these two at Cbus last year, maybe the worst game of the season. And also, I'm not putting the pressure on you to tip the winner in Titans games, but we want to know your confidence factor, where 10 is you are certain of a win. You're playing against the under-12s team. 5 is it can go either way. And 1 is your Titans are playing like the 90s peak Broncos or Canberra Raiders. So
100. No, I'm joking. I was looking while you were speaking there. Both of our sides have had two buys because I feel, I said our sides, if you go for the Tigers, both the Titans and Tigers have had two buys and we are 2 competition points ahead of them. But the reason why I did that, Winnie, was just because you look at the ladder and it's so hard to actually get a read on sides. Like Broncos are in second, but they haven't had a buy like the Panthers who have had 2 buys. So really the Broncos should be number one and the ladder's a bit of a jumble at the moment. So I wanted to check that right away. I'll give you my rating straight away, 6 out of 10. I think it's a real coin flip game, but I'm going to err on the side of bias and probably a little bit of optimism as well. Both these sides met in round one and it was both have got new signings. This is going to be an improved season for both. And there was a lot of hype around both sides. Titans came out with the win in that one. We now fast forward to the midway point or just past it and these two sides meet again. Arguably, since the Tigers have started to trend up and the Titans have started to trend down. So whilst the Tigers have been resurgent, the optimism in me says this is a chance we can really become a bit of a resurgent side. I want to ask you a question, and I, as much as I know you know footy, I don't think you'll get this one. Which side has missed the least amount of tackles on average so far this year?
What, out of 17 or out of these two?
Out of the whole competition, which side's currently missing the least amount of tackles per game?
The way you're asking the question, I feel like it's going to be one of these two teams. It can't Maybe. Be the Titans. So is it the West Tigers?
It is. It's the Tigers on 23 misses per game. It's the best record defensively in the NRL. And I can't believe that. That's a side that didn't win up until round 10, I think it was. I am very, very wary. They put 66 points on the Cowboys. They looked awesome in that final 10 minutes against the Raiders and arguably should have won. So when the Tigers get hot, they really get hot. And with no Dave Fifita, just to be completely fair here, the Tigers have us covered well on the edges with their international pairing of Bateman and Isaiah Papali'i. Titans have won our last 4 in a row against the Tigers, and we've only lost 2 times in the last 11 games. Alofeana Kanprera has 5 tries in his last 4 games at Cbus. Norfoluma has 8 tries in his past 11 against the Titans. So there's a few stats to round that one out for you guys. I'm going Titans only just.
And on the back of that, the fact that you've beaten them the last 4, you said, the game I'm referring to last year at Cbus was also a Thursday night dour affair. I believe Tigers were winning 6-4 or 4-2. It might have been 4-2 penalty goals, something like that. And we're going to get, I think, their first win or one of the very few wins they did achieve last year before the Titans put a kick in on the final play that I think hit the bar. And it was someone like Jackson Hastings that dropped it he caught it, but then lost it in the tackle. And anyway, loose ball, the Titans gathered it and scored. So that was what kept your win streak against the Tigers alive. I'll give you a stat as well that was doing the rounds this week. If you only played first halves, which was something we spoke about off camera on Sunday night, I heard this week, if you only count first halves, the Titans would be second on the ladder. If you only count second halves, the Titans would be running 17th. So that's probably a stat that doesn't shock everybody. And I wanted to respond to AT's comment. Would you take Knights plus $6.50, $1.80 or plus a flat $6, $1.90 in the first half? I think in a half time, half a point is worth 10 cents. So I think they're totally equivalent value. You'd take either one that you can get there is a fine play to me.
Nice. Yeah, I got that game up while you were talking. One try to AJ Brimson and Tigers had 3 penalty goals. We kicked a penalty goal.
So it must have been 6-4. Something
8-6. Like that. 8-6.
Or it was 6-2 to the Tigers at the time.
Yeah.
Off 3 penalty goals. That's why I said it might have been the worst game of the season. So we can only hope we get a better one this time around.
Might have been the worst game of all time. Let's move on from this. Friday night, it's the Raiders v Warriors at GIO Stadium. I'm going to this one. I'm really excited for it. Raiders are favourites by -4.5 points. Jared Croker obviously returns for his 300th NRL game. That moves Albert Hopewadi to the wing and Nick Kotrick still being used on the bench there. Seb Chris is back at fullback. Smith Shields drops out. Elliot Whitehead, that's a big inclusion for them. That kind of reshuffles their whole forward pack. And I'm not sure how to pronounce this young man's surname, so forgive me here. But Ali Liatawa debuts in the centres with Rocco Berry out, someone who's been playing centre for them in New South Wales Cup. I'll get some stats up for him while you're talking. But you got the Raiders in this one for a best bet, and it's Jared Croker's 300th. It's really it is a huge occasion for the Raiders, isn't it?
For sure. And I generally am one to say I'm not huge on milestones. You don't hear me saying, oh, it's a best bet because it's this player's milestone. However, if you heard Ricky Stewart in the press, particularly the conference after the narrow win over the Tigers, and just all the general rhetoric and build up around this game, you would understand how important it is to the team and to the town, knowing how much Croker means to the green machine. So when you've got that focus and intensity in a 27-week season, that is really valuable and something that I think is worth at least a couple of points in the Raiders' favour, if not more. And then you mentioned Seb Chris and Whitehead are very big ins. I know what New Zealand's got going for them is stability. They were very impressive last week, have not been forced into many changes recently, are close to full strength. And, you know, the only thing that gave me hesitation is, can I see this Warriors team coming in and being party spoilers? And they are capable. Of course, a 4.5-point underdog can win. But when I balance it up, I said to myself, well, who do I think is a stronger team? And I do believe it's the Raiders. As I said at the top, then you've got regular home advantage, and then you've got the extra focus and motivation in this game. It all combines, I think, to a converted try at least. So I'm playing the -4.5.
And I did bring up the stats for Ali Liatawa as you were speaking. 13 games in New South Wales Cup, 9 tries, 6 try assists, 51 tackle breaks, and he's averaging 136 metres. So some really nice stats there for their young debutant. I'm the opposite to you, Winnie. You know I love to tip milestones and for special occasions and stuff like that. So it's natural here that I do go for the Raiders. And if I'm completely transparent, if this was just a regular run-of-the-mill game and there was no 300th milestone for Croker, I'm taking Warriors at that +4.5 without really too much thought. But I just think that the 300th NRL game is so important to the Canberra people and to the Canberra Raiders side. But I have been really impressed with the Warriors, so I'm not going to rule them out and say they're definitely out of this under any circumstances. Raiders have only lost one game in their last 8, and they are conceding the second most tries in the NRL this year, which I find it to be a bit of a strange stat. Leaking tries, but still finding ways to win, which is impressive, and you can't take anything away from them in that regard. Both of these sides love to offload. I think they're like second and third in the competition for offload. So I expect this to be a pretty high-scoring contest. New Zealand are used to those sort of colder, sometimes wet and dewy conditions over there in New Zealand. So that's how I expect it to be here in Canberra on a 6 p.m. Friday. High-scoring game, I think, for this one, but I just think the Raiders will find a way to win for their skipper. They found a way last week. They found ways in other games this year that they probably should have lost, and with such a monumental occasion, I reckon they'll get it done. Sea Eagles v Dolphins at Four Pines Manly. The line is set at -8.5 for this one in Manly's favour. Turbo has been medically cleared. Doctors have said he did not suffer a concussion, so he's back. Reuben Garrett goes into the centres. Brad Parker drops out, and Christian Tuipulotu returns on the wing. Josh Aloye is also back on the bench. For the Dolphins, they'll be without Anthony Milford, so Nikarimu moves to 6. The Hammer is back at fullback. Jared Wallace is out. Farmer Silly moves to starting prop. And a big inclusion, Jeremy Marshall King, is back for them. +8.5. The Dolphins are kind of being counted in at this one, like they have been a few games this year. Winnie, are you counting your boys out? You like that line or not really?
I think the line's appropriate. It moved 4 points instantly when Turbo's head knock was downgraded. Mm. Tristan talked about that. And I think that's totally fair. Turbo in his prime is worth a lot more than 4 points this season. Not so much, but he was pretty good in his last club performance. Aloye a boost to the bench as well. And the fins are getting a bit thin, I want to say, because Kalfusi's still suspended. Now, this is one I want to clean up. I think we made a comment a week or two ago that Kalfusi wouldn't be an option for game 2 because he got a 3-game suspension. But I think what I overlooked was that Origin 1 counted as one of those 3 games. So Kalfusi could be picked without playing club. He could. Is that the way you understand it, Clarkie?
That's the way Fox Sports said it in their article today. But I'm on the NRL website right now, and it says he is suspended until round 17. So even if they include Origin 1, that would only be round 16.
Isn't this round 16 coming? No, this is round 15.
This is round 15. So let's say he was to include that one. That's round 16. But is he suspended for round 17 or is that his return?
I've been waiting for someone to do the homework and say it. And so I thought I'll do it. I'll do the homework. And when I was reading into it, it appeared to me that game one counted. So a risk for Billy to pick someone who hadn't played for a few weeks and has had a bit of discipline issues. But I'm mentioning Kaufusi because the Dolphins are light on. Of course, the sad news that Gilbert's also out for the year. Horrible news. So important he has been for the Redcliffe Kings. Hammer and JMK are huge ins, however. Look, Manly at their best, and they've been so inconsistent this year, but if they're firing on all cylinders, they will win this game. Double digits at home. It's a good spot. You get the boost of Turbo back, and it is the way I would lean. So I'm not confident that my boys will pull a victory here. But as you pointed out on Sunday, Clarkey, Dolphins yet to win outside Queensland. I think that's a motivating factor. They'll want to get a win somewhere. And if there's one team that has surprised on numerous occasions when the circumstances and the factors appear to be against them, it is Wayne Bennett's men. So I do give the Dolphins an outside chance, but I wasn't going to take them with the start either.
I see it the same way. I give them an outside chance. I go back to that Manly game against my Titans, and once Manly scored in that second half, I thought, oh, here's trouble. But to our credit, or mainly maybe to Manly's discredit, they weren't able to start that comeback like so many sides have been. A lot of disruption to this Dolphins side again. There's a spine shuffle. There's key forwards out. So I'll take Manly here, and I'm really wary that Turbo has another great performance like he did in his last NRL game against the Raiders. Just because there are question marks over his place in that Blues side still. Previous years, absolutely not. He's locked in no matter what. But now there are a few questions. There's some options such as Crichton or Campbell Graham or maybe even Burton taking over a centre spot for him. So I don't think he's definitely locked in, and I think that is extra motivation. He has scored 7 tries in his last 7 at 4 Pines. So if you see it that way, there is some data there to maybe back him for an anytime try. And of course, this is not really being discussed anywhere in the media, but one thing that just sprang to my mind, it's the Bennett and Seibold rivalry, but both are at different clubs where it doesn't really matter anymore. Of course, a few years ago, there was the beef when they swapped clubs between the Broncos and the Rabbitohs. For what it's worth, Bennett leads that battle 5-1. Seagulls have lost their past 5 straight games against Queensland sides, but I don't read into that stat too much at all. The one worrying thing I found here in the stats was only one occasion this year have the Dolphins failed to bounce back after a loss. So that's 4 out of 5 weeks where they lost and then came back and won the next week. Only one time they didn't do it. So that could be a huge feather in their cap for this one. For what it's worth as well, their back-to-back losses was the round 4 game to the Broncos under really tough circumstances. And then they lost to the Dragons next week. So they are a side that bounces back really well. But my gut feeling says that Manly get it done here and Turbo has a blinder. Of course, for this one as well, we will have a same game multi brought to you by Betr. We're looking to get back on the horse with a juicy multi that'll be cooked up by Winnie. The sign-up link is in our description if you want to go ahead and prepare now while we're live. But before jumping on any bookie, think, is this a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. That information is also in this show description if you are listening later as a podcast. Saturday opens up with the Dragons v Bunnies at Nostrada Jubilee Stadium. For the Dragons, they'll be without Jack DeBellin, so Ben Murdoch-Masilla moves to lock. Zane Musgrove comes onto the bench. Cameron Murray is out for the Bunnies. Shaq Mitchell starts. Of course, Latrell is still unavailable, as is Jai Arrow, replaced by Jed Cartwright. The line for this one is set at -7.5 in the Bunnies' favour. And I will say, Winnie, before you give your tip for this one, Cody Walker suffered a minor quad strain today and did not finish training, but they still expect him to line up and play. So I'm guessing you're still going to have to take the Bunnies in this one.
Yes, as I respond to Alan, he's absolutely right. So the Dolphins won in about round 3 down in Newcastle, that game where the Knights were an absolute mash unit, which makes that stat about not winning outside Queensland incorrect. So we got fact checked there and we got that one wrong. Thanks for correcting us on the spot, Alan. As for this game, Bird back in is one Jack that the Dragons will be happy to have back, but of course they will lose DeBellin. South's losing Murray and Arrow with Latrell still out, and another spanner in the works of Cody Walker, who's just about the form 5/8 of the competition, you know, available for New South Wales, that is. You know, then Is that part of, would you pick Cody Walker partly because you might pick Adam Reynolds? And if Cody Walker wasn't available, then does it make the Reynolds argument moot or at least not as strong? And it also makes the Rabbitohs not as strong in this one. And it's one of a few reasons why I'm not certain Souths will win this, and I wasn't going to lay the points. Although Souths were back to their scorching best last weekend, and I was happy to be on them for a best bet. You look at the Dragons, they legitimately could have won as 18-point favourites, but they bottled the end of the game, which has been very common for the Red V, sadly, this season. Part of the reason St. George had a chance to win last weekend was because of the injury to Nathan Cleary, of course. But Dragons get lucky again this week when they're playing a side without their best two players. So I am not going to lay those points with Souths because, as I said, the talent gulf isn't there. They're not going to necessarily overwhelm the Dragons with talent when they are missing some key troops. But I also don't really want to go against Souths, getting back to the Origin selection chat, when you do have Walker and Cook, you know, and Campbell Graham at a pinch, like players that have a point to prove. I don't like betting against gun players that might really want to put their best foot forward either.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, the Bunnies do have a pretty good record over the Dragons. If Cody Walker gets ruled out, my tip for this one probably will change, but I suspect that line would move pretty quick as well. We wouldn't be able to get +7.5. No doubt the Bunnies will look different without Latrell and Cameron Murray. I won't be able to attack with the same fluidity, the same attacking prowess, but with respect to the Dragons, I have to believe if they can beat the Titans without those two players, they can probably do the same to the Dragons this year, just going off recent form. I think Cody Walker should have a pretty good game here. I did write that before he tweaked his quad, but assuming he's even 90% fit and his Rabbitohs middles are able to win that battle there, I have to assume Walker will take over that game like he has pretty much every game this year. Now, these sides last played round 15 last year. Dragons won 32-12. If they win on Saturday night, Winnie, it'll be the first time since 2011 they've won back-to-back against the Bunnies. That's 12 years of history there. They've not been able to string just two wins together against the Bunnies. So they're definitely against history in this one. And that win was also their only win over the Bunnies in the whole last 9 games they've played. So Bunnies' recent record, really, really good against Dragons. Given the Bunnies' current form and the Dragons' current form, I think you've got to tip Rabbitohs in this one and just play it safe. Well, not even really safe. Smart, I should say. Broncos v Knights at Suncorp Stadium. It's not a Friday night. The Broncos are playing outside of a Thursday or Friday night at Suncorp. You wouldn't read about it. The line is set at -12.5 in their favour. I think that could be the biggest line this week. Cobbo is back in. Jesse Arthurs drops out. Frizzell is back in for the Knights. Jack Johns drops out. And Lachie Miller completely dropped from the side after he started the year so well. Kurt Mann is their new utility on the bench. Really big line in this one. Are you prepared to take Broncos 13+? I know we've got a best bet on the Knights in the first half, but in that second half, do you see Broncos maybe running away with this one?
Well, I think there's a possibility. If I take a halftime line like Knights +6.5, I would always still lean to that team in the full-time line. I'm never trying to get so clever or so cute that I would go against an advantage in a handicap by taking a smaller component. I will take that first half bet as a way to optimize, in my opinion, the best way to get at the Knights in this game, because I think that line is a little bit steep. And that's despite the fact that Brisbane's burned me last 2 weeks. I know that all too well. And trust me, no one has let me forget that. And I'm going to give the Brisbane Broncos a chance to make it 3 from 3. But it's not about betting against Brisbane so much this week. It's about betting on Newcastle. I think it's an important point in their season. And I think that the Knights know all too well what they're walking into a hostile environment against a red-hot side. But I think that also means Newcastle comes in fully focused. And look, on the Knights' perspective, you've got, you know, Kalen Ponga going up against Reece Walsh. Don't you think he has a point to prove there? Gamble is against his old side that kind of discarded him. And Gamble's had a really strong season in the halves. With Hastings, I look at a guy like Hastings that was labouring a bit, and I wonder if a couple of buys, of course, Newcastle are fresh off the buy, but they only had their first one about 2 or 3 weeks ago, so I'd almost say they're doubly fresh. And a player like Hastings that used to be such a good running threat might be able to run the ball a bit more. Gagai is another one that still wants to put his best foot forward. And the Saifidi bros on the outside of Origin looking in. Frizzell, on the inside, but off a losing team, no one's safe. And, you know, whether he starts or retains a bench spot, it's a very important game for both sides. There's enough there for me to take, you know, that full 6.5 in the first half that people who are familiar with the pod will know I like to do with our big underdogs, because I'm immune from what happens in the second half, which could be a Brisbane side that can score in waves, you know, could extend that margin late for sure. Give it to me, guys. I know there's going to be some friction against this one. And I know some people are probably questioning my sanity right now and asking if I've been watching them. I promise you, I've watched Brisbane. I'm super impressed. I think they can go a long way. In fact, Brisbane's now created a situation where realistically they could get to a grand final despite only flying to Sydney about 2 times in 28 weeks. And I'm talking about how favourable the draw is, along with the fact that if they finish top two, you get that first week of the finals in Brisbane, you win that, you get the prelim in Brisbane. It's in front of the Broncos. Again, this is about me having faith in Newcastle that they'll make the the strong surging home side earn it in this one and can keep it tight.
And I mean, when you break out the tinfoil hats, they always seem to get the Friday night games, the Broncos. They get all the buys during the origin period. They barely have to leave Queensland because sides like Manly are apparently at home at Suncorp. And they're 50% owned by News Corp, who we know owns the NRL basically as well. But yeah, tinfoil hat off now. I think you have to go Broncos in this one. The only way you tip Knights in this one is pretty much I have the same reasons you had. If you think fatigue is going to be a genuine factor, where the Knights are going to be more rested against a side that has not quite had a bye yet. Knights have had two. They are coming off one. I'm still going to take the Broncos in this one. I just believe in this side this year. They look awesome. Realistically, you can't really fault anything they've done wrong. All their losses, there's been, you know, some genuine excuses, I would say, for them. Knights are coming off a 28-18 win against Manly. Now, that doesn't matter too much in the context of this game, but the last time they won back-to-back games was actually rounds 1 and 2 last year. So they've really struggled to back up their wins with form. And also traveling to Queensland, the Knights have only won 2 of their last 8 in the state. That rhymed really well, actually. I did not mean to do that. So yeah, I'll go Broncos. My confidence on them is really high at this point of the year where their players are either in origin or in the case of Adam Reynolds pushing for origin. I can see you typing there, presumably a funny comment.
No, nothing funny about this, actually, but glad you mentioned Reynolds because he's going to also want to have a statement for sure. I understand that. And but I was typing something that's not funny at all. It's the mixed matchup so that I could put it on the screen. So why don't I share that? 2 best bets. I'm going to find a way to build those best bets, which are my strongest edges against the bookies, in my opinion, into one play, one almighty play, I hope. And it's a bit creative again, but I'm going the Raiders in the second half only to score more points than the Broncos in the first half only. So it's 40 minutes of Raiders play versus 40 minutes of Broncos play. If we get back to that Canberra game, I definitely think that New Zealand could potentially go with the Raiders for a period, but I do think the emotion and the intensity can win out. If the Raiders are down, you know they'll fight tooth and nail to come back in the game. And if they're up, they will not want to blow a lead in such a monumentous occasion. So I like Raiders second half especially. And then my best bet is against Brisbane in the first half where I think the Knights can keep it tight. And so both these sides are probably predicted, or they are predicted to score around 12 points in these respective halves. And there is a significant chance that they both score the same number of points and we would lose. But when you've got two teams predicted to perform about equally and we're getting $2.50, then basically, if you like the reasoning behind my best bets, you might just like the mixed matchup and you can have up to 200 of that on that on Toppy. And you can use the promo code TPLive, of course, to support the show if you are yet to have a Top Sport account, but you would like one.
I just got to say, these mixed matchups are getting more and more creative. What are we going to have by round 27? How crazy are you going to take these things? Tell me. Is it going to be Payne Haas to, you know, roll out with a bigger beard than... and then, you know, play from the opposition and also, you know, make more tackles than him. I love it, mate. I think that's a great mixed matchup there for that game, or for both games. Makes them both really exciting as well. Saturday closes out with the Roosters v Panthers at Allianz Stadium in Sydney. The line is set in the Panthers' favour.
4.5.
4.5 in the Panthers' favour. And that's despite the fact Nathan Cleary is out. So that brings Jack Cogger into the side and Jamin Salmon onto the bench. For the Roosters, Suaalii is out. Corey Allen moves to centre. Daniel Tupou, a big inclusion for them, back on the wing. And I think he needs 4 more tries to become the club's highest ever try scorer, which would be an awesome feat for him. Can the Panthers do it without Nathan Cleary, though? How do you see this one?
Yeah, I think they still can, although it's a revenge spot for the Roosters. And again, you're very fortunate to catch the Panthers without their most influential player. However, of course, the Tricolours have no Brandon Smith. If you look closely on the bench, you'll see a Sandon Smith. It's not the same person. No Victor either. And then Swalehi, what did you guys think? Just a side note, I feel like he was very harshly ruled on with this knee lifting action. I know he naturally does kind of run with raised knees, and I know he's been warned. I just thought the incident where he collided with Reid Marnie was just as much a bad luck, and Marnie would have probably said himself he would attempt that tackle differently. 3 games, Swalehi. I don't know. I think he's going to second guess how much longer he wants to stay in NRL during that time. Did you see
Matt Lodge's comment on it today?
No.
He said, I think he's just so athletic that he gets that high knee drive, to be honest. Some of us can't lift our knees that high, but his running style is like a sprinter. Maybe some obligation has to be on the defender to put their head in the right spot. That was from his teammate, Matt Lodge.
Well, I would not disagree with that. He is an athletic freak, and I don't think he's lifting his knee to make himself harder to tackle, to injure somebody. I feel like that's just the way he runs. But if you're being told that it's dangerous, you've got to adjust. I didn't really understand the history of it, because it's clearly that he had been warned. I still just thought it was harsh. You're getting Tupou back. That is certainly timely. One, you know, star outside back is going to be suspended. At least another does come in. But the thing about strength is Penrith are very strong right now as well, apart from Cleary. They're so lucky, the Panthers, that they had Cogger on the bench. What a masterstroke. Maybe because they thought they'd beat the Dragons handily and they could rest Nathan. In any case, I don't know if the Panthers would have won that game without Cogger coming on. Massive try assist he had on the stroke of halftime off the boot. And so I think he'll hold his own. You know, Luai's got a point to prove. And this is how strong that Penrith is. I can demonstrate it just by telling you that Liam Martin and Spencer Lenu, Roosters bound, those players are on the bench. That gives you some idea of how complete this Penrith side still is. And I would actually play the Panthers with the line. That would be my lean. However, I'm just wary knowing how important this game is for the Roosters, knowing that they will be so relieved to scrape a victory last week, coming back from 12 points down and kind of saving their season, because it would have been 4 straight defeats. And I'm not going to underrate Trent Robinson, is still one of the greatest coaches in the game. So in an important spot, it's funny because how many did Penrith put on the Roosters a few weeks ago? Was it 50 points? It's hard to kind of understand how they're going to close that gap. But as we know, 1 week's a long time in footy. So certainly a few weeks. And if anything, it's extra motivation and extra film and tape for the Roosters to see what they need to improve. I just feel like this is a big all-in spot at home for the Roosters that I maybe don't want to bet against, although I still lean to Penrith.
Yeah, they do have a great record at Allianz too. I think they've only lost like 1 of their last 5 there. So they've got a good record there. Yeah, round 11, they met 4 weeks ago. Panthers won 48-4. I do remember now, because I was I joked on the preview show, the only positive to come out for the Roosters is they can still win the premiership because they didn't concede 50, but that joke that always seems to get around. Look, I've got to admit here, and I've said this a few times this year, and I don't think I've got too many right. It's come back to haunt me, but I don't see a way how Roosters win this game. I was not impressed with them at all in their win against the Doggies. And I would just offer that this Panthers side, and I know that footy math doesn't always check out, but this Panthers side doesn't beat a Doggies side by 1 point. This Panthers side would dismantle that Doggy side, especially once they lost someone as influential as Reid Marnie. I think Teddy will be one to really watch in this game. Last week, I tipped him to have a big one, and I think he did. I think he played brilliant. Every time I've tipped him to play well this year, he seems like he has. But I think this is a game where he's just going to be looking to get through. I think he's just going to be looking to get through to Origin with his eye, with his thoughts in his head, one eye ahead in the future, making sure he doesn't get injured. And I don't think we'll see the best James Tedesco in this one. And from what I know about the Roosters this year, Teddy has to be at their best for them to win. He was at their best against the Dragons, and they still lost. And he was at his best against the Doggies, and they only just won. They need Teddy at his very best. I don't think he will be. Ultimately, the Panthers have still won 9 of their past 11 without Nathan Cleary. Of course, last year they had Sean O'Sullivan filling in, and I probably view Jack Cogger at a similar level. I'd have Sean O'Sullivan slightly better halfback, but, you know, Jack Cogger's almost got 50 NRL games now. He's played in the Super League. He's experienced enough that he can go in and do a job surrounded by superstars like that Panthers team. And for the Panthers here, they still complete at the highest percentage in the NRL. They only concede 12 points on average per game, and they miss the equal second least tackles per game in the competition. They're just traveling too well, not for me to tip them here. I don't see how they lose this one, even without Nathan Cleary.
Look, I think that's a fair enough tip, but I, just for what it's worth, I'm going to disagree with you. I think Teddy is too professional to say, I'm just going to get through this game and get to Origin. He's playing against the player that's been discussed to take his jersey for Origin. Mm. He knows how important he is to the Roosters and how important this game is for the Roosters. I know that the Blues aren't going to drop their captain. I still feel Tedesco wants to make another statement after, you know, a big game against the Bulldogs. People say that was only the Bulldogs. But if he was to lead the Roosters to a victory over Penrith and against a lot of Blues teammates, I feel like Teddy would leave no doubt. So I'll disagree in that respect that I'm not predicting a quiet Tedesco game. Tedesco is one of a few reasons that would make me nervous about playing Penrith, even though I think that line is a little light.
Yeah, Teddy certainly has that ability against any side. And it is a bold take, obviously, anytime you tip against a champion like Teddy. Only one game on our Thursday. It's the Storm v. Sharkies.
Sunday.
The one game. It's the 4 p.m. Storm v. Sharkies. We're in Melbourne at Amy Park. The line is set at -4.5 in Storm favour. Justin Olam is out, so Grant Anderson comes in. And Cameron McInnes is back for the Sharks, so Tom Hazleton drops out. Not many changes to either side. I think this will be game of the round for what it's worth. Who are you tipping in this one?
Yeah, this is a good one. Isn't it funny? Bellamy announces he's staying on for another year. And within about a week of that, the Storm are copping the most points they've conceded in 20 years. 45 last week. So if you want to make your joke there about, hey, at least they didn't let one more try in, they can still win the comp. It certainly applies to last weekend as well. So the question is, do Melbourne bounce back? Well, they're at home. But on the other hand, Olam is out. And I feel like the Storm outside backs aren't what they once were, and that we've seen them, make poor decisions and look a little bit inexperienced at times when a couple of their key men have been out. So I think Olam will be missed because, you know, the fear that he strikes in the hearts of, ball players that are looking to play out the back or attacking players that are looking to, you know, catch and pass and wondering if there's a missile coming towards them. And Cronulla are off disappointment of their own too. So you kind of look to bet on good teams off disappointing losses, but that would be the case for both of these sides. You said in our recap, Clarkie, the stat about how the Sharks are yet to beat a top eight side this year. So does that classify them as just bullies that can't actually beat the best, you know, best sides in the competition? That's what makes this game so fascinating for me. Like every matchup, I kind of look at both sides up and down and ask myself, who's the better team? And I do feel like the Sharks across the board are better and deeper and more complete, but it's very close. And then I go back to, well, if it comes down to the final 5-10 minutes and who do I think can win a game, I kind of want Cam Munster or Harry Grant over Hines, despite the fact that, of course, Nico is the reigning Dally M medalist. So then that kind of balances out the Storm maybe a little more top-heavy, throw Jerome Hughes in there, and the Sharks maybe a little bit more balanced. Look, coming off a disappointing attacking performance for sure, where Cronulla, you know, lost us our best bet, I feel like they'll probably come in here and play this game to the wire and probably cover the 4.5. So I'll lean to Cronulla. But again, you know, Bellamy would have taken the Storm into a deep, dark place this week. And I think it will be an all-in effort built on defense. And the Storm will attempt to stifle Cronulla in the same way that Brisbane did. So I can make a case for both sides. That's why I've steered away from this one.
Yeah, one does not simply concede 45 points in a Craig Bellamy side and not get flogged the following week at training. You know all this Storm side has done is defend, and we know they're still a great side, but I'm going to go against my rule here of underestimating the Storm. I'm not underestimating them, but I'm not going to tip them. I'm going to go Sharkies. I think on the other side of the coin, the Sharkies are very aware they've not been a top eight side this year, and they will be desperate to remove that stat. What better way to answer that stat and respond to it than beating the Melbourne Storm in Melbourne? Such a tough road trip. These sides have, well, maybe not so much now with their current groups, but in recent years, they had a really great rivalry post that grand final. The other factor for me in this one is Nicho Hynes, who is essentially, if we believe the talk in the media, he is re-auditioning for his Blue 7 jersey. It's not locked in. You know, it was sort of theorized before that if Cleary was unavailable, he would be the next 7. But now it could be Mitchell Moses, it could be Adam Reynolds, and it could be Nicho Hynes. So I'm really wary that he could have a fantastic game here. The other matchup that I identified, and I hope I'm not mixing my centers up here, but I've got Sio Sifo-Talakai going up against Grant Anderson with Justin Olam out. If I'm a Sharks fan, that is a delightful matchup. With respect to Grant Anderson, probably a player that's hasn't shown as much in the NRL as he would have liked. And on the other hand, Sio Sifo-Talakai, literally one of the most dangerous ball players. I'll tell you what, he's got 11 try assists this year, equal fifth, and is the only person in the top 10 currently that's not a half. So that shows you the sort of ability he has to break a tackle and get that ball to his winger, Ronaldo Mulitalo. That being said, the stats here do favour Storm. Sharks have only beaten them once in the past 6 games. They've not won at Amy Park since 2018. So they need to break a 5-year drought at the venue. But I've just got a gut feel, Winnie. And when I've got a gut feel, I've got to go with it. So I'm going Sharks against the odds.
Well, the upset there. I think you got your gut feel wrong on matchup, though. I was going to say the same. Talakai will play left center. Will it? And I believe Remus Smith is the right center for the Storm. But you never know when you bring a new player in, which side is Grant Addison more familiar on. I'm not certain, but Tom has made the same comment there. Yeah, in any case, Talakai's hard to handle, that's for sure.
Yeah, oh, he's hard to handle. If it does go that way for the matchup, I'm not 100% sure, but if it does, then that is it's a beautiful matchup if you're a Sharkies fan. We've got Monday footy, and I love Monday footy. I used to love Monday night footy because then you've only got to get through the Tuesday, Wednesday before we're back into the round. But we've got it. We've been blessed on the public holiday. I don't even know what the public holiday is for, but we've got footy, and that's all that matters to me.
Do you get one in Canberra?
Yeah, I'm off.
Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure we don't get it in Queensland this weekend. Oh, no. This week.
Yeah. Well, maybe I've just rubbed it in. Maybe it'll be extended.
Tell me, is this an afternoon or a night game? So this is probably an afternoon game.
Yeah,
4 p.m. Okay. Yeah, right. So it could be Queenslanders looking for early knockoff or with one eye on the footy in the last couple of hours of work.
And I would hope in the ACT, if the Raiders win on Friday, they extend that public holiday into Tuesday. That would be a dream. But it's the Bulldogs v. Eels. We're at a Coors Stadium. The line is set at -6.5 for the Eels. Now, I believe that line has moved, Tristan was saying, in relation to the Dylan Brown news. We'll get to the team changes. Reid Marnie is named, but he's not 100%. He still needs to pass medical tests because he did fail his head injury, but there are certain conditions you can meet to play within the mandatory 11-day stand down. Jacob Carras returns, so Wilson drops out. Edwards starts at lock. Chris Patolo joins the bench, and Ryan Sutton is unavailable for the Doggies. Regan Campbell-Gillard named to return, Winnie. Could he play his way back into a Blues jersey with a strong performance? Who knows? I know Tevita Pangai Jr. got in there from one strong game. Davey is back for them. And this news actually sucks. Wirimu Greg has injured his foot, and he's looking at 3 to 5 months out, which sucks. He was having such a great rookie season. Of course, he drops out. This is the game I always reference, Winnie. Do you remember how I always say that the history with these two sides and how I lost the one leg on my awesome multi that time? That was this game. So I'm
you scarred. And every other punter. Again, and we have talked about it a few times, and it was on a Monday public holiday after just about every favourite had won that weekend. And the Eels lost as like 18-point favourites on that occasion. Look, the line you've got on the screen, 6.5, is the current line. I think Tristan was referencing that it might have been more like 8.5 before Dylan Brown with the mandatory stand down sanctioned by the NRL. I look at this game, and first of all, I'm seeing Parramatta, off a bye while the Dogs are off a tough loss in a game that was in the balance for 80 minutes. Reid Marnie, not knowing if he's in or out, because I understand it was category 1, which would mean mandatory 11 days, but there's a precedent now that you can apply to get that downgraded. However, I had heard that Carl Flanagan, who has been plying his trade as a hooker in recent weeks in Cup, was going to play the 9 role for the Dogs this weekend. That's what I predict will occur. Jacob Carras will also be a welcome inclusion for the Doggies. Speaking of welcome inclusions, right, the return of RCG is huge. yeah, a prop spot or two is up for grabs for the Blues for sure. When you hear the way they spoke about Tevita Pangai Jr., they're not married to him, but I know he'll want to have a big effort as well, big showing on Monday too. But speaking of props, you know, middle forwards Ofengawi and Wiramu Greg both out for the Eels, of course. So that's probably net still a loss for Parramatta. And then the biggest news of all, Dylan Brown. It's rocked the club for sure. You got to kind of tread carefully and you don't want to make light of a serious situation. But I do feel like you got to acknowledge a couple of things with this. Dylan Brown's one of the Eels' best three players, three most important players. I don't want to get too personal, but wasn't he dating Brad Arthur's daughter? And if it's not personal enough, Brad Arthur's son, Jacob, was the backup half and left the club just a few weeks ago because he couldn't get a spot, obviously could never be picked ahead of Brown and Moses. And now all of a sudden, you need a backup half because of the situation they found themselves in. So we've got to look closely at Parramatta and how they respond to these. These situations are rarely not messy, and I don't think it's going to necessarily galvanize the squad. I think it could massively derail Parramatta. So I'm not playing Para, and I can understand if people in the comments might be looking to the Dogs. For me, just to explain why I'm not on the plus 6.5 either, I'm just not that high on the Dogs. I don't rate them that highly, and I don't think the forward pack matches up well enough with Parramatta. I was quite surprised that the Bulldogs hung in the game for as long as they did against the Roosters. I was very impressed. So maybe I underrate the Bulldogs, but I just don't know if they can hang in the contest for 80 again. So I've passed it. As someone asked, Brown's been named for the Eels. Yes, he has. But the news came through today that the NRL will not allow him to play until the matter, I suppose, is somewhat resolved.
Yeah, I mean, you always presume the innocence. That's one thing people might not understand with the NRL stand down policy, or seen on my page anyway. The NRL aren't saying he's guilty. They're saying we want to minimize you from the spotlight and not allow you to, you know, be seen and heard on TV through the game whilst you are, you know, charged with what you're charged with in that regard. And they do have discretionary power that they can stand down any player at any stage under this rule. Great comment there from Jeff saying a few Queenslanders will lose their jobs. Well, let's just hope the best bets get up and you can afford to take that day off. Got here from the NRL physio that in exceptional circumstances, clubs will have the ability to apply for exemption to the 11-day stand down period through a review of an independent neurologist expert appointed by the NRL. And then there's too much criteria to read but it can. You can definitely overturn it, which is what the Doggies are doing with Reid Marnie. Now, I don't know with Dylan Brown out if my tip changes in this one. For what it's worth, I wrote all of my preparation for this before I knew. And what I do have is I have to go to the Eels on this one. I know their record in games they should win this year isn't the best. But that being said, I just think they're getting to a point of their season where they just got to start stringing wins. And they've got to turn around that trend of losing to sides they should win against. They've lost a few games this year where I thought they definitely had a chance to win. And then they've turned up against some of the best teams in the competition and played fantastic. And you just look at both performances and you think, for example, when they beat the Panthers by 1 point, if they shown up with that attitude every week, they would have a much better record than what they currently do. Moses and Burton will be the ones in this one to keep your hand on. Both will be pushing for spots in that Origin side. The Bulldogs do concede the most amount of penalties this year at 94, and that's 9 more than any other side. So discipline remains an issue for the Doggies. The Eels have won 12 of their last 15 against Doggies, so they got a great record there. As I touched on at the start, they did lose this game, this corresponding game last year, and the Bulldogs have won their last 3 games on this day in a row. So they've got form on Monday for sure. Regardless, I'm going to go the Eels. I was trying to think while I was speaking there. I'm really attracted to that plus 6.5 for Doggies, though, if I'm absolutely honest, because they are fighting and they are trying in games. But I just feel that as soon as I offer that tip, then Reid Marnie will be ruled out. Until we know for certain with Marnie, I just wait and see with this one. It's a really tough one. Yeah.
And you can, like, you're not forced to play it either. Like, I am kind of forced to pick a best bet on a Wednesday because I want to make it as easy as possible for people to follow. But as a punter, you're not. And if you've got uncertainty and it could go against you, you might want to wait until that news is locked in and then either get a higher line, which it will be if Marnie's officially ruled out, or get that confirmation. You might have to wait till an hour before kickoff, but sometimes that's what you want to do if, you know, a very critical player, if their status is unknown.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll just finish out the show with answering a few questions. Got one from Todd. We don't know how long Dylan Brown will be out. It's all discretionary by the NRL. Ryan says he's on the doggies and he thinks that Burton could have a big game there. I can see a comment from Matt there. We've already reviewed the previewed the Titans game there. And Colt says he likes doggies at the line. It's a pretty safe bet in his opinion. That'll pretty much wrap up the show, though, guys. That's all we've got time for in terms of our round 15 preview. I won't be here on Sunday. I'll be away at a family farm with pretty low reception, I assume. But Winnie will be doing a solo recap for you all. So look forward to that. That'll be after the 4 o'clock game there on the Sunday, won't it?
Yep, Storm Sharks. So we'll keep the normal time slot, even though there'll be one game to look ahead to, which will be this one we just discussed.
Maybe we'll have a bonus play for it. We'll keep you waiting. We'll see. All righty, guys. Thank you very much for being here. And Winnie, you'll see you on Sunday to recap it all. Thank you very much.
Have a great week, guys. Lego.